We look at the words of the Apostle Paul to this new church in Thessalonica. He's not there with them. He was had to leave very early. He was only there 3 or 4 weeks. And he's now back in Corinth, and he writes this letter to them and ends this particular letter with these helps and instructions. And as I say, we're going to have a look at this. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And being a thankful Christian, being a thankful church, is absolutely vital for any of us to find any spiritual progress. Thankful for who God is and what he's done for us, what he's done for you. For the many times that he's heard and answered your prayer, as you just sat there this morning, if you're a Christian, your mind will go back to the number of times in your Christian life that the Lord has heard and answered your prayer. Being a thankful church, being a thankful Christian, is the way to God's heart of blessing. Without ongoing day by day thankfulness, you will find that everything Christian, everything spiritual, if you're not thankful, continually praising God and thanking him for all his goodness, you'll find that everything spiritual in your Christian life will fade. Little thankfulness means little joy in the Lord. Christian assurance that God is with us. Christian peace, peace that passes understanding, will diminish and virtually disappear without having a thankful heart day by day to God. So this verse speaks out to us. Give thanks in all circumstances. But isn't that impossible, really? Isn't that just sermony type talk? We can't thank God for hurtful things that come into our lives. We can't thank God for pain that comes, or the bad things that hit us as we travel through life. Well, yes, we can. And that's why translating that verse in Romans 8 from the Greek correctly is so very important. In the older versions of the Bible, they put that verse this way. They say, all things work together for good to those who love God. If you look at the older versions, that's what they say. All things work together for good to those who love God. But they don't. Things don't work for our good. And if you were to check the Greek after, and we're not going into all the theory of this, but after they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they were able to fill in the blanks in the alphabet. If you look in the newer versions of the Bible, you'll find that it doesn't say all things work together for good. It says quite correctly, in all things, God works for the good. That's very different. It's not the things that work. Things don't work for our good. But in everything that happens to us as a Christian, you find God at work. That's the wonderful truth of the Christian's life, that God is working out our life for us. Doesn't mean that we have this smooth, rosy, trouble-free, pain-free life. Not at all. But in everything, even the worst trouble that ever hits us, we find God with us and at work. Some of you will have heard of this, the lady Corrie ten Boom. a Jewish girl who was imprisoned with her sister in the Ravensbrück prisoner of war camp constructed by the Germans. And Corrie ten Boom records in her book that the day they arrived at that camp, they formed a line, a long, long queue, and they were led into what turned out to be the very worst prisoner of war hut in the terrible camp. Everything was terrible, but there was one that was worse than anything else. It was the one that didn't have any heating in at all, and it was riddled with fleas. It was awful, and that's where Corrie and her sister were housed. And as they always did, they had their daily Bible reading, and you couldn't believe it, but the verse that was on their little booklet that they had for that day was this one. And so Corrie and her sister read, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Well, Corrie said to her sister, "Well, I can't do that. How could I ever thank God for being put in a hut like this? God could have even put us in another hut that's slightly better, has a bit of heating in. We're in the worst. I cannot thank God for that." But her sister encouraged her to thank God, and they prayed. But Corrie said that she couldn't thank God for that. She was unable to pray and thank God. But as the days passed and the weeks passed by, the two girls noticed that the cruel, horrible guards in the camp never came to their hut. They were amazed that they didn't get the beatings. They didn't get the awful terror of these guards because they never came into their hut. And they discovered that the reason that they kept away was because of the fleas. They wouldn't come in because it was riddled with fleas. You only had to step inside, you were covered with them. And the very thing that was the horror in all things, God works. So they were able to, it was an awful time, but they were able to keep their Bibles. No one else in the camp were able to keep their Bibles. The guards confiscated them. They were able to pray each day without interruption. They were able to hold Bible studies. As they looked back, it was this awful, awful state that they saw that even in that God was at work. In all things God works for the good of his children. So thank him. Thank him. Thank him even when trials and troubles come. Even when grief and loss and pain hit you. Thank him because you know that if you're a true Christian, you'll never be left alone. And that you've got this hope that we've sung about, that's in your heart. Thank him for that. Other people don't have it. Thank God for that. God will be with you, and he promises never to leave you. He promises to walk with you through those troubles. He promises to hear your prayer every day and answer your prayer. Thank him for it. He will hold you. He will bring peace into your heart that you can't explain, because really your heart should be broken and shattered with the pain and difficulty that you've experienced. But somehow you've got this hope. Thank him for it. It comes from God. It was given to you, that peace in your heart. Thank him that he's just so good to us. Thank him that he, if you're a Christian here, he saved a sinner like you, like me. I didn't deserve it. I never could have deserved it. I was bad. I rejected God. I had no time for him. I dismissed him. I rebelled against him. And yet God, in his love and mercy, through the Lord Jesus Christ, came and he became my Saviour. Thank him for it. Don't let a day pass by. It only takes 2-3 seconds to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Be thankful. The verse goes on to say, for this thankfulness is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't want to go off track here, but on Wednesday we just reminded ourselves of what those words mean, the term Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he called Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we just mentioned it, and I just mentioned it to you because Paul uses it here, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Lord is Jesus' position. He is the sovereign, the Lord. He rules in his kingdom. He is the king. Lord, when you see that, is his position. Jesus is his earthly name. You will give him the name Jesus. You will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Lord is his position. Jesus is his earthly name. Christ is the word for Messiah and Saviour. So whenever you pray or hear or see Lord Jesus Christ, you'll know what it means. And that's what Paul uses here. He uses that this Lord Jesus Christ, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I have to tell you that if I'm asked any questions at all, and I did used to have a kind of ministry that put me on radio a bit and television, and I was always asked a certain number of questions. They were always the same. But this was one of you from Christians. How do I find what God's will is for me? Well, you don't have to be fogged about it. It's already here. It says, this is God's will for you. Just be thankful, Christian. Be thankful to God every day for all those kind of things that I've mentioned. Always be thankful. This is God's will for you. I wonder if you had realised that thankfulness to God is the basis of all true worship. You see, you can't worship God if you're not thankful. You can't really lift your voices or lift your heart to him if you're not truly thankful. If you don't appreciate all that God has done for you, if you're not grateful, you'll never be able to worship. True thankfulness is the basis of all Christian worship. Now, when I speak about thankfulness, I don't want to confuse you. It mustn't be really confused with feeling happy. Because there is a sense that it's fairly easy to be thankful when everything's going so well. The sun's shining, you've got money in the bank, you've just been promoted at work, you've passed your exams, you're fit and healthy, you've got your holidays planned, the sports event coming up. Well, it's easy to be thankful when those are the circumstances you find yourself in. And of course we do thank God for times like that, knowing that all good gifts around us, as the hymn writer said, all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. But be careful to watch that you don't slip into only thanking God when it's like that. You see, this is Paul's speaking here because he knows that this little baby, well, it's not a little, it's quite large now, according to the records, but it's a new formed church, that they're going to experience real difficulties. Their families are going to reject them. They can't send their kids to the temple to schooling anymore. They'll probably lose their jobs. And Paul is saying, don't just be thankful to God when everything's going well for you. Thank him in all circumstances. Thank him that he'll never let you down. That he'll always be, he promises always to be with you. That he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. Despite the circumstances, be thankful to God. So don't slip into only thanking God when everything's going fine for you. And the song that we sang said this. That when the world, for you, when life in this world has plunged you into its deepest pit, there will be a place in each of your lives and my life where it's at its blackest. Can be all sorts of things when it never gets any darker than that moment. And the songwriter says, when that happens, when the world has plunged me or you into its deepest pit, guess what? I find my Saviour there. That's the thing. That's the thing to be thankful for. Maybe you've got a life ahead of you and you've never really experienced any grief or sadness or joy, but you will do. And the hope for the Christian is that when that happens, when you meet and face the darkest part of life, you'll find your Saviour there if you're a Christian. So be thankful. Thank him every day. Thank him for that. And you know, thankfulness develops and shapes our Christian lives. Thankfulness for God's goodness and blessings develops in us a humility. You see, when we remember just how much the Lord has done for us and helped us each day, we move away from thinking how strong we are and how we can cope with life as it is. Throw what you like at me, I'm all right, I've got money in the bank, I've got insurance, I've got this and that and the other. When we're thankful to God in remembering all he has done for us, it moves us from being focused on how good we are and how strong we are to our dependence upon God. It grows our dependence and our humility. And so you recall that the Pharisee who came to the temple to pray. Jesus told this story of the Pharisee, the religious man who came to the temple to pray. And behind him, a long way off, was this well-known sinner. And the Pharisee stands at the front of the temple and he prays out loud so that everybody can hear him and says, "I thank you, God." But he wasn't thanking God, because his prayer went, "I thank you, God, that you know how good I am. How wonderful I serve you. How I tithe and how I do this and how I do that." He wasn't thanking God, he was thanking himself. One behind who felt so black and so unworthy, couldn't even come right up to the temple. And the Bible tells us that he beat his chest in sorrow and said this, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "Which prayer do you think God heard?" He didn't hear that one, the one that said, "Look at me, look how good I am." He heard the cry of the heart, and from hearing that cry of the heart, that man would have left thanking God that even an undeserving sinner can come to God. Every spiritual gain, every blessing, every help comes from God. And thankfulness recognises that and removes the big focus on self that often dominates our life. The more thankful we are, the more we come to see how much we depend upon God. Being thankful to God reminds us of the great debt that we owe to him. Did you thank him this morning when you woke? If you're a Christian, that you have left the broad road that leads to destruction and God has moved you on to his way. And now you are heading home. Now you're heading home. And what a glory that will be. For those of us here who are getting on a bit in years, those of us who are Christians, what a glory that will be. No more pain, no more sickness, no more death, no more separation, no more sorrow. And if you've lost family or friends or loved ones who were Christians, what a day that will be. When at the moment of your death, instantaneously, you'll be taken by Christ himself, as he promised, to that entrance hall of heaven where they'll all be there to welcome you Do you ever thank him for that? See, I don't deserve for that to be my situation. Thank him. Think about it. Think about it and thank him from your heart. Reminds us of the great debt that we owe to him for reaching out and forgiving us when we didn't deserve anything from his hand. And seeing that amazing forgiveness and love and rescue encourages us to witness. For if God did that for me, someone like me, then no one could be excluded. So I'm happy to share the gospel, the good news with anybody. I cannot look at anybody at all and think they're hopeless. So the chap that sits outside Asda on that tunnel there that I regularly, I'm still doing this, by the way, it's costing me an absolute fortune. All those pens that we ordered, I don't know whether you've still got some. So Pauline and I give a pound, a pen and a pamphlet, 3p's, to every delivery driver and every person that we see in Shipley. And I give this pound, pen and pamphlet to this chap, and I encourage him to read it. What a joy it would be if I saw him in heaven. How I would thank God. How I thank God for the privilege of being able to witness. Somebody prayed for me when I was lost. Somebody helped me. What a privilege to be thankful to God helps us to witness and to love him. Jesus said, the one who is forgiven most loves the most. If you look back on a life where you'd never deserved any of this, then you love him the most. The more the Lord has done for us, the more we love him and thank him and appreciate him. So you thank God for the faithfulness that he's shown to you and that he's always there for you, that all his promises are for you, that his word is kept. Thank him that he's promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. It's true. Thank him that he keeps his promise, that he holds you, that if you were left out of God's hand, if God left you for one moment, then you would fall away. If Monday was the day that God left you, every one of us would fall and fail. Thank him for the freedom to gather together. There's so much to thank him for. Do you do it? Do I do it? Paul says, thank God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in everything. Do you do it? Do I do it? Well, thank him for the truth that at the moment of death, for the Christian, that they're going to be taken by the Lord, led into God's presence, introduced. This is my dear son or daughter, taken into the very throne room of God by the Lord Jesus. Do you thank him? Do you think about that? And just say, you don't have to make a great prayer and fall on your knees. Just say, as I've just thought about that, Lord, what a privilege to say thank you. You see, we do find ourselves slipping into the shopping list type praying. Always centred on me, always centred upon my health or my auntie's ingrowing toenails or whatever, and we bring these lists out to the Lord. Well, of course, we can bring our cares and our concerns, but having heard this message this morning, may it be that our praying will be much more centred on thankfulness to God, recognising his amazing goodness for you and me, and his mercy shown to us. And may it be that having been reminded of this, as you sat there this morning, may we become a more thankful church together, so that whenever we meet, our hearts are found to be warmed within us when we think of God's goodness. And we cannot just stop ourselves from thanking him. Amen. So we're going to close with a hymn.